January 24, 1961, Goldsboro, North Carolina. An Air Force bomber springs a fuel leak. The eight-man crew bails, five to safety, the other three to their deaths. The plane itself bursts into flame and breaks apart. On board the bomber are two Mark 39 hydrogen bombs. The bombs are set to detonate when dropped from a certain altitude. They have four safety mechanisms to prevent their accidental detonation. On one of these bombs, mechanisms numbers 1, 2, and 3 fail. Thankfully, the fourth mechanism, the pilot's safe switch, was not activated during the plane's destruction. The bomb parachutes into a field and lands safely. The other bomb doesn't. It crashes to Earth and remains buried to this day an estimated 55 feet below ground. Further research shows that the bomb was set to detonate, however, a malfunctioning high voltage switch prevented it from fully arming. November 9, 1979, computers at the North American Aerospace Defense Command, or NORAD, indicate that the Soviet Union has launched a missile attack on the United States. The military scrambles 10 fighter planes in response and warns launch control to ready nuclear missiles for a retaliatory strike. Thankfully, satellite data reveals that no such missiles from the Soviet Union are on the way and that this is simply a computer glitch. September 26, 1983, at the Soviet Union's own Missile Control Center, computers indicate that the United States has launched five missiles at the nation. The Soviets have only minutes to respond to their own barrage. The commanding officer that day, Lieutenant Colonel Stanislav Petrov, refuses. Something tells him that if the United States were to attack, it would be not with a mere five missiles. And shortly later, the reason for the false alarm is discovered. A satellite has misread the reflection of the sun off the clouds. So we have here three crises, accidents really, that could have easily led to a major nuclear catastrophe or even to nuclear war. One among thousands of accidents. Among the American arsenal is a hydrogen bomb, so powerful that if dropped on Washington, D.C., it would kill the majority of people clear to New York City. And yet no such major weapon detonation has ever occurred outside of two relatively small nuclear weapons dropped at the end of World War II. How have we avoided this? Some say it is a miracle. Let's begin looking at the scriptures today to see why this is so. To learn, let's say, kind of rest of the story, we're going to go to Isaiah 14:24. On this day, following a change in the leadership of our nation, many are ecstatic and many others are very fearful. Change is coming. Will it be good? Will it be bad? What do the next year, 4 years hold for our nation, for the world, and for ourselves? Isaiah 14:24 tells us something we should keep in mind at times like this. It says here, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand." So God ultimately is in charge. He has a purpose, a plan, and he is bringing it to fruition. If we follow his ways, we need not fear, for we will be party to that plan, part of it, knowledgeable of what is to come and our place in it. Let's go next to Acts 17:26. Acts 17:26. Here, Paul speaks of the unknown God to a people who are not familiar with their Creator. Notice what Paul is inspired to say here about that Creator in 17:26 of Acts. He says here, "And God has made one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations." God then has given to the nations times and places. The Russians are where they are because God chose to place that family of peoples in the north parts of Eurasia. The Chinese are where they are because God placed them in the Far East. And the Germans are where they are because God gave to them a portion of Northern Europe. And we here in the United States benefit from the blessings of this land because God chose to give this land to us for this time. We are the beneficiaries of living at a time of American greatness. And as the Chinese or the Russians or the Germans gain ascendance in the world, it is God who has decided that it is their time. Just as God has not let a nuclear weapon detonate on accident or a nuclear war begin because of a computer glitch, as he has put men in place who were right-headed at the time that they needed to be right-headed, so it is that he puts men in charge who will carry out the plan he has for the men of the earth, whether for short-term evil or ultimately for good. Let's go to Daniel 2 and verse 21. Daniel lived at a time when the nation of Judah had been taken into captivity, carried into a strange land, Babylon, and there one great man ruled. His name was Nebuchadnezzar, and he thought that he was great, thought that he was the source of his nation's greatness and of his own, enough that God felt a need to humble him. And one can read about that in Daniel 4, how he lost his mind and became like the beasts of the field for a period of time. And at the end of it, at the end of this experience, Daniel 4 tells us Nebuchadnezzar came to understand that God does as he wills, that he is the ultimate ruler, and that no one on earth can stop him from what he has decided. Two chapters before that, Daniel himself told the king something similar. Daniel 2 and verse 21 is what we'll read here. Daniel 2, 21, it says here, "And he, that is God, changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." God said that Daniel said that these things about God in the context of interpreting a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had had, a dream of a great image, a statue of a man. The man represented the kingdoms of the earth that would rule over the land of Israel for the next 1,000-something years, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And at the end of that time, there would be 10 kings, and the statue would be hit by a stone that would grow into a great kingdom. And this stone, this kingdom, we know, is God's. In other words, God's removing and setting up of kings, his giving of knowledge and understanding, it's all part of his plan for his kingdom. We don't need to worry no matter what happens. So what should we do? Well, let's go to Romans 13. Here Paul tells the Roman church how they should respond to secular power. This is in the context of a section on Christian living, on doing good to others. And note here what Paul tells the congregation about those who rule on earth. Romans 13 and verse 1. He says, "Let every soul be subject unto higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." So God puts rulers of the nations where he wants them to carry out his purpose. Paul even goes on to note how rulers generally maintain order and help people, including our own selves, to remain faithful to good works, to the law. Most nations have laws forbidding stealing, murder, and other things that God himself hates, that God himself says are wrong. And the government helps us to keep those rules by enforcing them, both on ourselves and on others, so that we can live peaceful lives, lives in which we carry on in God's purpose to share his gospel, his truth, and his way. Now, that is not always so. Some governments interfere with one's obedience to God, and we should certainly pray that for our leaders at any one time so that God's purposes, even in our own lives, can go forward. But there are scriptures that are clear. We ought to obey God rather than man when these kinds of situations arise, as Peter told the Sanhedrin and as Daniel's friends told Nebuchadnezzar. But both of them fell in line with the example left to us by Jesus Christ, God himself, while he was on earth. They submitted to human authority. They took the punishment that was meted out. They did not rebel. It was all according to God's plan. Peter rejoiced to have suffered for Christ's sake. God spared Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Jesus himself swallowed up death in victory through his resurrection. We need not fear. One day there may well be a nuclear accident. There may well be a nuclear war. One day a plane might well burst into flame over North Carolina and the last safety mechanism may not hold. Or a computer glitch might send missiles across the sky and the military officer in charge might not be a man with discernment like Lieutenant Colonel Petrov. Or the leader of a nuclear power might be impetuous enough to launch an attack using such weapons and start in motion a series of events from which there is no turning back. But we should all know and remember this, that God is the one who sets up and takes down. And as he purposes, so it shall be done. It is all part of his plan, a plan in which death itself, death shall die. As Romans 8:28 says, everything works to good for those who love him.